I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
Hello.
Hey there.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
How was your salad?
Oh, yes. I had a salad with some fish on it. It was actually good with some Asian seasoning. Dressing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to be good because this pandemic has been really good to me in many ways. Mm-hmm. But that also means I've eaten too much. Girlfriend, I got some, you know, undoing to do. So I've actually found a couple salads. They're kits because if I have to make it myself, I won't eat them. But they're kits that already come with dressing and yeah, they're pretty decent. Well, a lot of cabbage, too, which I like the crunch.
Yes.
And so that's good because I'm just, salad to me is rabbit food. But, yeah. You know, it is what it is. I was actually doing like chicken strips because I like, you know, that breaded crunch, too, as well.
Yeah.
But I kind of got tired of that. He said it the other day. I was like, oh, I like fish. So, and I actually like it better with fish than the chicken. So I've been doing fish because I love fish and it's a good balance.
Well, I love salad, so I can't really.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Same.
Just,
hilarious.
No, and I grew up, I was just a really picky child, and some would still say that I'm picky. But, you know, I tell people I'm not picky. I'm just, you know what I like and don't like. I mean, I eat octopus. I guess I'm not picky.
Come on, everyone loves the pulpo. I love it.
No. People are like, ew. I said, well, then who's picky now?
Exactly. I love octopus.
Oh, I love octopus. But anyway, I didn't eat a lot of greens. True story. My mom said when I was little, and I guess I was still eating, you know, I was still a baby. She would fill up, you know, my spoonful or whatever. And I would have peas, just like green peas, you know, sweet peas, whatever they're called. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she would say that I would sit there and I would swallow. And all of a sudden I would purse up, you know, perk up my lips and then spit out the peas whole.
Oh,
that's how, yeah, apparently I was a little extra. So that gives you an idea of how I was with vegetables. I really didn't start eating vegetables until I was in like 30s. Salads were not on my radar. So anyway, but you know, I'm 46 now and I'm a little more adultish. So I guess, you know, it's time for me to expand and eat healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Eat healthier.
So we're going to be talking about Christmas. We'll segue here from salads to Christmas. And I actually was just at Target. I was getting some Christmas cards for two of the girls that I sponsor over in Guatemala. Let me tell you something. I was a bit frustrated. I just went to Target. And so there's a sign that says Spanish cards. I'm like, oh my gosh, great. You know, I won't have to. There were three cards. Three. Okay.
Right.
One was for a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two were just for like gift cards. They weren't just regular cards. And I'm just like, that's it. You have three Spanish cards here. Well, I think what's most frustrating is they must not know their demographic because around where I live, there's a huge Hispanic population, especially Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Like usually, you know, or a lot of cities. I wouldn't say usually. I know there's like a lot of black, you know, people. But here in this city where I live, it's actually full of Puerto Ricans for whatever reason. So you would think they would have some more cards, you know, that go along with that, but obviously not. So I don't know. Ended up picking.
I think that is a global minority problem, right? No, seriously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for a long time, there were not any cards that centered around African-Americans as well. So, and then, you know, different brands came out that, you know, the cards were specific, right? Where the covers, what's that big brand? Because they have Latino and Black. Oh, gosh. Why can't I think of it right now?
I don't know. All I know is Hallmark.
Yeah, it's a Hallmark brand, but I can't think of the name. But it's still minimal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then even in what you have, you probably like a few of what they got. So,
yeah.
You know, but like, I don't see Asian cards. I don't see, you know what I mean?
So
I think globally, you would think by now, 2020, Hallmark would have a more diverse, you know, line of cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
you would think, right?
You would think.
Well, the other thing too I found interesting is, oh, if I at least find something with baby Jesus on it or something like that, you know, because Hispanics are all about baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, there was nothing about Jesus at all in that whole section at Target. Yeah. And I'm thinking, listen, I'm not one of these, oh, you know, Christmas is being stolen, whatever. I'm like, whatever. But it was all Santa Claus, which is fine. You know, to each your own. I'm not being critical of anybody that's all into the whole Santa thing. But, you know, being that it is Christmas and it's about Jesus, you would think there'd be a couple of Jesus-y cards. Nope, that didn't help either.
Well, so, I think the bigger question is, is it really about Jesus?
Well,
because the truth
well.
Of the matter is, right, it is now a big commercial, you know, business time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? We have definitely more Santa, more elves, more reindeer car, you know what I mean? Than we do baby Jesus. So I agree with you. We know what the reason for the season is. So the great part, so this is the thing. Ma'am, I think you just start a card line and then we'll all buy your card.
Ooh.
And then that's it.
I will say that if you want to go for funny, there were some funny cards. Oh my gosh, they were funny.
Sure.
There was one about Mary and Joseph, actually. And he says, I'm sorry, I didn't make a reservation at the inn. And she has a pouty face. And then at the bottom, it says, this is why it was a silent night.
Oh, my goodness.
I died laughing.
That was funny. This is why. That's a good one.
It was a good one. So there were a lot of funny ones, which, you know, I'm all for diversity and everything. But, yeah. Well, you know. I don't know what I would write, but I would definitely like people to, you know, have some kind of thing. I don't know that Christmas cards or any greeting cards are in my future, but somebody needs to get on the fact to know their demographics. Yeah. Maybe I should send some little thing. Actually, I haven't been on Twitter in years, but I have an account. I just never post. Maybe I should get on there and start a thing with Target.
I'm with you. Go for it.
Anyway. So let's talk about traditions. I want to know all about your traditions growing up, what you kept, what you ditched, what's special, you know, for you then, what do you do now? I want to know all about it. It's funny, I was talking about this with my son. I was saying that I was about to record a podcast and, you know, be of traditions. And he's just like, oh, I love traditions. And I told him, it'll be interesting to know as you create your own family, what traditions you'll keep and which ones you'll create new. And so he's like, I'll probably just steal traditions from other people. And I said, that's fine too.
I love it.
I know. But yeah, it was interesting to hear him say that he's all about traditions because I'm not. So go ahead. I want to hear all about yours.
Well, I will say this, that I have not created my own because we still do the holiday with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up in my home, Christmas was a very, 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 very big deal. One thing that I loved is we always used to actually go and drive for about 2 hours to an actual, like outside of where we live to go get a tree. Actually would chop the tree down, get the tree, bring the tree home. And then have like a decorating moment with hot chocolate or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Decorate the tree. I don't remember. We usually do our tree maybe like 2 weeks before. We're not the people that are like a lot of people get it like the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm always like, wow, that tree has been up for a long time. So we get it maybe 2 weeks before. And then my mother, though, like she can't wait for the Christmas music. I will tell all of you beautiful listeners who love Christmas music, I like some Christmas songs. I am not the person who is waiting. Like my god sister is like, oh my god, Thanksgiving is coming, it's Christmas music time. And I'm like, whoa. And I think I'm like that because my parents, like, for the rest of the year all the way to New Year and a little bit after, Christmas songs. Now, what I will say is, though, is that they had the snazzy, jazzy Christmas songs, right? So James Brown's Christmas, Mariah Carey Christmas, Nat King Cole Christmas, you know, like the Spinners, Four Top, like everybody's Christmas albums, right? But all like R&B and jazz and, you know, whatever. We wake up very early in the morning, run down there's a plethora of gifts, and not all gifts are wrapped. So usually when we were little, you know, there'd be something, you know, some gifts standing out. So like if like for instance, it was a bike, right? The bike ain't wrapped. You know, like a train set or something like that. We always start with our stocking stuffers. So we have stocking stuffers, and we're all supposed to add to the stuffer, you know, for each person. So we start with the stockings, and then we go around. We used to go age or like in reverse, either the youngest to the oldest or oldest to the youngest. And then after we were done, we would get dressed and go around to my aunt and uncle's homes and bring gifts to them, exchange gifts, come back. And then my mom would cook an amazing dinner. And then people would come over for dinner, other family members. But about 24 years ago, my parents got divorced after being married for 24 years. So then Christmas was divided.
Mm.
So then we started having two Christmases. And so we would go to my dad's first. And I will say this because in the at that time, the food was nasty. So...
Girl, you know, Christmas, part of that whole thing is the food.
Exactly.
Like, it just is. It mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm. So we don't do nasty food.
Yeah.
So we'll go there first because we knew it was nasty. And then we would okay, go
Okay, let me just laugh because that's just...
nasty. Okay. God right, bless yes. my stepmother's soul who passed a year and a half ago.
But cooking was in her gift.
24 years ago, she could not cook. Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
And I'm going to also be honest, white Christmas dinner and black Christmas dinner is not the same.
No.
So I will never forget the first one. Number one, we didn't know what stuffing was because we make dressing. Dressing is made with cornbread base. Stuffing is bread, right? Like bread. Yeah. And hers was stovetop, which is like, what? Out of a box? Are you crazy? And then she had peas, which I was like, why peas on this table for Christmas? Who eats peas on Christmas? I don't know. So stuffing, peas, some dried out, something else. It was like four or five things where my family, my mom, and even my dad's family, like we have about 20 different things.
Right.
Right. Multiple desserts, multiple meats, sides are everywhere. So my brother and I were like, okay, look, we going to whack Christmas first. And then good Christmas. So we would spend maybe about an hour and a half. We'd eat the food. Now I will say over the years, she increased in her cooking ability. So thank you, Jesus.
Well, that's good.
But I didn't live in California for a long time since I was young. Since my early 20s, I left and had lived in the East Coast, overseas, in different places. So I didn't, there were a lot of Christmases. I either came in really quick for the holiday or I was where I was. And so I would go to friends' houses. And then 2009, my husband and I moved to LA to do ministry. And when I got there, I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing Christmas with my father because I hadn't done Christmas with him in many, many years. And my mom, I was like, we do Thanksgiving because what I'm not having is a nasty Thanksgiving. That's not happening. Okay. So I never did Thanksgiving with them. This is not going to happen. Okay. So my dad, though, really kept our same traditions, even with, you know, including my stepmother and my stepsister. Christmas was still a very big deal. And so our new tradition, in addition to the tradition, is I'm originally from Northern California. So the day before Christmas Eve, we go into the city. We stay at a hotel. We do like last Christmas shopping. We do a white elephant game with our immediate family. We wake up on Christmas Eve, have breakfast, and then go back to the house. And then Christmas morning is the same. Get up early. We do breakfast, we open gifts, and then we have dinner later. And so even with my stepmother passing, we've carried that tradition on. So last year we did the same thing, and the difference was like instead of her making breakfast, we did that. And then we usually leave the day after Christmas to come home to our own house and then kind of I don't recreate anything. We haven't had a tree. This will be our first year that we decided we'll have a tree when we come home the next day. Mm-hmm. Because now my mother is in the same city we're in. So we'll have a second like Christmas with her. Because she usually does Christmas with my brother.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but yeah, girl, I was like, the division of my family, really, I was like, this two Christmas thing, I'm not really for it. So I will say, I was very happy when I moved. Not me moving had nothing to do with that, but it took away that pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, I really feel for kids and even parents and families that have to divide themselves that way, because it can be a very emotional time. And so for me, it became very emotional because I could feel the exclusions with my dad and the family, like things that I just wasn't even thought of, you know, thought about. Even when we started to come for Christmas, I still felt left out a lot in a lot of things, even though we were there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, having those kind of conversations and then being able to see, oh, shoot, you know, there's some things that we're not even really mindful of or thinking of. It can be very emotional because with blended families, not all the time are you blending. Even, right? Yeah, even though there's this mm-hmm. word, doesn't mean that that is what is actually happening. And so there, where you can be together and feel so out of place or not a part of, even in the midst of being physically in the same room, but not really emotionally connected. So it took, you know, it took some time and some years and grateful that my, you know, that my heart is always toward God to lean into it and be okay. But I've left a lot of gatherings, you know, feeling kind of empty in a moment that is, I love the holiday and being able to be a blessing to others, but, you know, leaving feeling very drained or forgotten or just like, what is happening? You know, like, why are we still here? You know, thinking mm-hmm. that you've grown, right? Or that we've evolved. And yet there's still these moments where you're an afterthought. So I really feel for families during the Christmas time that are, you know, either newly blended or still having some blended issues. But when you really get that blending together, it's beautiful. But it takes time.
Yeah. And like, I think of... when it comes to stuff like that, time, and it takes intentionality of the adults to really put whatever aside and make it about, you know, the children.
Yeah.
For sure. My parents got divorced too at some point in my, because I really don't know when they actually got divorced, because they got separated and I didn't even know they were divorced until years later when I actually found a divorce decree in a drawer because I was looking for something. Yeah, that's how my family functioned.
Yeah.
We put the D in dysfunctional. Right. But I didn't have that issue because my father had, you know, just walked out eventually and he wasn't around. Yeah. And my mom and my grandparents had a fight. And so I didn't have to divide between my paternal side and my maternal side. So it was all about my mom's side of the family. And my grandma gave birth to 12. One of those died as a child, and then so there were 11.
Yeah.
And their spouses, they were married. Two of them never did. And then there were the plethora of grandchildren.
Yeah.
My cousins. And it was just, I look so forward to getting together.
Yeah.
Because I think I had mentioned this before in another episode, even though we were a hot mess of a family, mm-hmm. the holidays seemed to just make us normal.
Yeah.
And we had such a great time. Mm-hmm. And we had, oh my gosh, one of the things that we would do, my grandfather always had a pig growing, growing. He fed them whatever year round, and he would kill a pig. So we were all part of that as a whole group, the kids, whoever wanted, you know, the children, the man killing, you know, it was just great roasting it and then just eating it, you know, the next day for Christmas, you know, just great memories of doing all that. We have something called pasteles.
I love pasteles.
You do you? Yeah.
Yes. And we get them made every Christmas. Now that's what my husband brings to the tradition is pasteles.
So it's really hard to explain, but it's grated roots and it forms a very...
It's not a tamale, people.
No, it's not tamales. No, it's not. but it forms a very wet dough. I guess it's the best I can explain it. And then you form it onto a plantain leaf, or if you don't have plantains, then like wax paper or something. And it gets, and it's rectangular. You put pork. Some people are vegetarian, so they won't put anything in it, which is like, oh my gosh, no. But the staple is pig. And so you do put pork in it. It's seasoned, and then you boil that and eat it.
So
it's
yummy. Just,
oh my gosh, so yummy.
But you have to know what you're doing.
Yes. Not everybody knows how to make it. You know what I did, girlfriend? I actually went on Facebook Marketplace and just put pasteles in a thing, and I went and bought some blindly from this woman downtown. So I'm taking a risk, but I'm going to see. Hopefully, I even told her, I said, if they taste good, I'll come back and get some for Christmas.
Absolutely.
So I bought a dozen. I have them there. I have to taste them and see how they are. Because, you know, it's not everybody knows how to cook. And pasteles, you know, that's an art.
It's an art.
But, you know, I did go buy some. The other thing that we do is, you know, we eat morcillas, which is our version of a black pudding, I guess is what people call sausage.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we have that. I mean, and then we do the ham. We do the pernil, which is the picnic shoulder. Oh, or some people do turkey. That's not, that's not very common. But we always have potato salad, macaroni salad. I mean, we are the, we are the, royal, what do I want to call it? What is it? These royals from England, what are they called?
The royals, aren't they?
I don't know, the royals, but we are just the epitome of eating carb on carb on carb is my point.
Yes.
Because we have the pasteles, which is mostly carb. Potatoes. We have the elbow macaroni. We have salad. Right. And we have rice with these little peas that are called pigeon peas or gandules. So we have
Peas. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a staple. Gandules. So we eat a lot of carb. Desserts. That kind of baked or have coconut milk in them.
Right, flan.
There's flan, and then there's arroz con dulce, which is rice pudding, and tembleque, which is made with corn starch, I think. So it's kind of like a pudding but firmer. Oh, tembleque is my favorite, with cinnamon. We have all sorts of stuff, but we didn't have major traditions for Christmas like in the family. And when I was a kid, I just don't remember anything special that we did aside from the like most families. Like, we at some point we decorated a tree, you know, we got up in the morning and opened our gifts, but there wasn't anything really special about the Christmas morning and the gift thing. You know, as a kid, I loved it, I loved getting gifts, whatnot. But for me, I think it was just part of my personality. What I looked forward the most was the food and the gathering with the family and the people. I really
too.
Did. Me and the music. Oh, there was music all the time and dancing. And we are, at least we were, I don't know if we still are as culture. We don't go home because kids have to go to nap or because they have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. No, we teach our kids since they're babies. You fall asleep or you fall asleep. I go home when I'm ready to go home.
That's right. Same for the African American.
Yep, and there would be kids strewn all over whomever's house we met at. So, my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, they would fall asleep wherever. Yeah. And my kids, my boys, the oldest ones especially, they're good sleepers. Like, they just fell asleep and they don't have a problem. I'm like, what? I moved here. I remember thinking, you have to go home to do what? Hey, can we hang out? No, my kid's napping. It's like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I always found that fascinating, but hey, to each their own. It's just a different, you know, cultural difference. So no, we wouldn't be going home early because kids need to go to sleep. They learned that they would sleep wherever. If they were awake until 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody cared either. Kids were just running around, playing, doing their thing.
Yeah.
The adults doing their thing and having just a good old time. So that's what I recall the most. But there wasn't a specific tradition. It was just the culture of it. Is very dear to me.
Yeah, and that's more for us too. Yeah, that was us too. My mom's side of the family, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, especially Thanksgiving, there would be about 75 of us. The family's big because I was raised on both sides of my family with my great-great-great and grandmother. So we had multiple generations. So I was raised with all my great aunts, their kid, you know, so it was and all of us cousins, which is a gang of us, were also kind of raised like brothers and sisters. So we were always together. So Thanksgiving would be like 75 people. Christmas, you know, my parents would host, it be at, you know, for dinner, it'd be like 30 something people. And so we were always all together. And my parents are both the eldest of their siblings. So throughout our life, all of their sisters or brothers have lived with us at least once or twice. Only a few have not. I think my one uncle is the only person that hasn't. They're, you know, my cousins have come, they would come for summers or stay with us, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they were kind of like surrogate parents to everyone. And then because we had so many generations, we just love to be together. So it wasn't always about like what we got or how much we got. It was that we were together. But I think once my father and mother split, my father lost a lot of that, you know? And so he was very excited when we started coming for Christmas, because things that, you know, were really staples that, you know, were part of his family and my mother's family being together were lost, because my stepmother didn't have a large family at all. She only had a sister. So he was, you know, lost a lot of just that togetherness and closeness, you know, and just the hanging out and the staying out, you know, like all the things you're talking about. But a funny story, I think it was the second Christmas that my husband and I went to my father's, and my stepmother was Caucasian. And so she was so excited. She was like, I got this great surprise coming for my husband's name is Alejandro, but people call him Alex. I call him Alejandro. So they were like, she's like, I have this great surprise for Alex. I've been just planning this. I cannot wait. And so she's like, I'm having it flown in. And so we're like, oh, wow, what in the world is she, you know, getting? So for two days, she's talking about the surprise. So we get into town. She's so excited. She's like, it's coming all the way from Chicago. We're like, what? You know, so we're like, okay. And so she's like, I can't wait till it gets here. So it's like Christmas. I think it was like Christmas Eve. We all get back from the city, and she's like, oh my God, it's here. And so it's this huge box, right? And so he's like, what in the world? So she's like, here, Alex, open it. Now, my father is laughing to the point of tears. So I'm going, well, why is she so excited? But he is cracking up, right? Now, my dad is a prankster, and my dad will allow someone to literally go through embarrassing themselves just for the laugh.
I think, right? I like your dad. So,
yes, this is my guy. Like, he's like one of my favorite people in the world. So I'm watching him cracking up, trying to hold his laugh in, and she is so excited. Like, I'm like, what did she do? Buy him a car? Like, she's so excited. So he starts opening up this big box, and like, it's layers, and then there's like dried ice, and so I'm like, oh, so dried ice, right? Means it must be food or something, or drink or something, girl. So then it's in this box, he gets the dried ice out, then there's another box, he opens them out, and he lifts out this stuff out of this box and lays it down, and I see it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, right? And my dad is dying. So she's like, Merry Christmas. And my husband looks down, he opens it, he goes, what are these? And she goes, they're tamales. He goes, what is that?
Tamales.
And I look at her and I go, he's Puerto Rican and Cuban. He's not Mexican. My dad now is literally hunched over, crack, because my dad knows. He has let her literally buy tamales, flown them in from Chicago to Northern California for a man who is not Mexican. Girl, he's like, I don't know. So he looks at me, he's like, what is it? And she's like, they're tamales. And he goes, what is a tamale? Girl, I'm on the floor. And I go, he's not Mexican. And she's like, but. I said, there's no but. He said, I've never seen one. I've never eaten one. What is this? So then we make them. Girl, number one, here's the crazy thing. You don't order tamales from Chicago. We're in,
like,
California.
Like the capital, right? Of where you could have the best.
Inundated, the capital of where you get the best tamales. Number one. Okay. So these are the nastiest, because they're, how about this? They're gourmet tamales. My dad is now like crying laughing. And she is looking dumbfounded. And so she's like, she still don't get it. And I'm like, Patrice, my husband is not Mexican. Mexican and Puerto Rican and Cuban and Dominican, these are all very different. It's not even in the same region.
He's my gosh, poor woman. But still, I mean, you got to give her brownie points for trying. But gosh, that's hysterical.
So then she makes them. He takes a bite and goes, these are nasty. And she's like, well, how come you don't know tamales? Like, again, I'm not Mexican. What we make is pasteles. So then he's trying to explain. So we literally, I think the next year brought pasteles for her to try. She was very like, different. Oh yeah, this is very, girl, I look at my. I wanted to see this unfold. He's like, this was the best Christmas gift to watch. Girl, you would have thought she gave him, like, I don't even know, a Rolls Royce. But she was so excited. But his face was, I wish I had that on video. Because he was like, what is that? What are these? So, yes, that was the year we explained to my stepmother my husband was not Mexican.
Oh, that's hysterical.
But here's the crazier part. For our wedding, his sisters, because we were like, we want what we all eat, right? So his sisters made food. My aunts made food. So I was like, we were very clear at the wedding that he was Puerto Rican. But she didn't know. So
no.
Nobody ate those tamales. They were disgusting.
Oh, my. I don't even know. The first time I had tamales was actually a year ago, and I was in Mexico.
Yes.
And let me tell you something.
Because
when in Rome. Well, it was served to me. I was on a kind of educational trip to learn firsthand more about the border.
Yeah.
And the coming over and all that. It was a good trip.
Yeah.
But they were taking us around a different different organizations that were helping people to employ them and support them so they wouldn't have to cross over.
Yeah.
So it's at the border of, it was in Arizona, and it was the border of Douglas and Huaprieta, which is south of Tucson in that area. And so these ladies, they had a home for women that would support them and whatnot. But anyway, they would grow a lot of their food, and they made these tamales, but they made this homemade hot sauce, and that's what made it. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the recipe, like I could replicate it here, but the little peppers they use, I've never seen them around here. They're like tiny little green balls.
Yes.
Probably like tapioca size.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Now, when we go to Mexico, my husband likes the food there, but it's not even the same flavors. It's not the same seasoning. Like it's just completely different. So, but I was like, you're in California. Why didn't you just go down the street and get some banging tamales from the dude that sells them on the corner? Like, the best tamales are in Mexico or California. They're not in Chicago. And here's the crazier part. There's a large Puerto Rican and Cuban community in Chicago.
Yep, right. So that's could have done that as well.
Yeah. So we just cracked up even more because I was like,
that is really funny. Oh, poor woman. She's all excited.
And here's the thing. She bought like 50. It wasn't like, girl, they had some money for days. We weren't taking none of that back then.
If they were gourmet, they probably didn't have the good stuff in them, like all the good fat, all the whatever.
First of all, I didn't even know you could make a gourmet tamale taste this bad. Like, if it's gourmet, it should be like on another level of good, right? But it was on another level of horrible. But watching him unpack that and the joy on her face and the pure, like, it looked like it was so foreign to him. He was like, what are those? And she was like, huh? But my dad, this is what just made it even worse. I was like, you let her do this. He was like, oh my God, I couldn't wait. And it was a memorable Christmas gift. Definitely.
Oh my gosh. He watched her do all this. That was hysterical. He didn't even say anything. Dad.
Like, he knew. And I was like, I mean, man after my own heart. But you come on now. You didn't even give her a hint. He was like, no, because she was so. Because first, I guess he was like, maybe not. She's like, oh no, he's going to love him. And he's like, look, she went for the gusto. I just let it ride. Like, you're horrible. but it's open.
That is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's hysterical.
So that's when you realize you're like, okay, everybody needs to be clear about who everybody is. Mm-hmm. So, right. And, but again, even when, you know, we're an interracial couple, you know, so even with that, right, people, you think everybody gets it, but then it's like people still have their assumptions. And so, I don't know if my stepmother outside of my husband's family had ever even met a Puerto Rican before.
Right.
Right. You know, she was married before, but she was married to a white man. Her world was Caucasian. You know what I mean? Before us. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? She was just doing what in her mind, right? Not educating herself, just like, hey, you know, I live in California, and I guess everyone who speaks Spanish eats tamales, you know, but that's kind, you know what I mean? That's the reality of when we live in. That we're sharing the tradition, not mm-hmm. obliged to what you do and not really realize, oh, what? Well, now that, you know, I'm blending a family, or now that like for me and my husband, we've always done Thanksgiving because, you know, we're pastors, we do ministry, but we've always hosted Thanksgiving because we plant in cities and know that there are other people who aren't with their families, right? Mm-hmm. So we've always had Thanksgiving for people who didn't have family where they lived.
And I used to do that too.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and right, so my god sister's Belizean, you know, we have friends that are Polynesian, like, so we're all bringing this blended Thanksgiving, right, where everybody's bringing a piece of themselves. So, you know, where you have a part of your home, but if we don't educate ourselves on each other, right, if I was just like, well, I'm gonna only make everything, I might not realize that somebody doesn't like this, right, that may be a staple for me but isn't in their tradition. So, you know, it's just also too really, I think, important that we really educate ourselves, especially when we have people in our lives we love, right? Friends that are close to us, not to just be so focused centrally on what we do and what we like, but like, how do I bring who my friend is, who my spouse is, who my, you know what I mean? Who, whatever, into my world to really enlarge my worldview, but also to just enlarge my life. It's beautiful when we can adopt each other's traditions. You know?
Most definitely.
And I too am not a really traditional person, mm-hmm. like you. You know what I mean? I just it's more for me. It's like, this is what my family has done. But like I say, I haven't really taken any of those on. I think maybe when I have a kid, maybe, you know, I don't know.
But, yeah.
You know, I'm also the kind of person who's like, is what it is this year. Like, what are we doing this year versus, okay, let's make sure we have, my dad is very traditional. Like, everything is the same, you know, where I'm like, I've had to tell him, can you please not buy me and my stepsister the same gifts? Cause we are not the same person. And I always get gypped cause I don't like what she likes. So can I get my own gifts? Right. So I'm like, let's just do money. It just works out for everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now my dad is very techie. I'm very techie. So what I do love is he always gets all of the kids and my cousin. We all get one gift the same for our households, which is always really cool. So, one year we all got those little vacuum cleaners, you know,
those Roomba.
Oh, I love it. Right.
Great. So, that's awesome.
Because we had a bigger house. We got two of them. Right. But like my stepsister and my cousin are in apartments, but you know, stuff like that, that you really can use. Or one year when Google Home was big, we all got Google Homes, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I love that kind of thing. Cause it's like, what can I do for your family versus just like, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. But I do not like that once I got married, I kind of got gypped out of my own gifts. Like, I don't like that.
Oh, that's great.
I don't want to share gifts. I want my own gifts, okay?
Well, listen, so, I know that you have to wrap up here because you told me you have an appointment, but I want to close out with sharing a Christmas tradition from a friend of mine named Casey.
Come on, Casey.
Yeah, so she says, growing up, when we celebrated Christmas, with my dad's family, we always had a big box to open. And I mean big, like a washer-dryer box. You might think it was full of toys, but my grandparents filled it with groceries, cereal and Pop-Tarts, which were a special treat, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, and more. So as a kid, it was a fun big box, but it was also a serious blessing. Seasons where money was tighter than others. Of course, as kids, we never realized the blessing part of it, but it sure saved the grocery budget for at least a few months. Mm. So when we grew up and were married, my parents continued the tradition, big boxes or big reusable bags full of things you need, Ziploc bags, batteries, and enough toothbrushes to get our whole family through the year. My mom waits for sales and starts shopping Costco in January for the following December, and we leave with our cars literally overflowing. As people who have more than enough stuff, it's a great way to meet our everyday needs with consumable goods. That tradition has really woven into the fabric of our family. We gift practical gifts and enjoy getting creative with how we present them. For example, if someone registers for a colander that becomes a colander full of pasta, sauce, a bottle of olive oil, and the spices for garlic bread.
Mm,
isn't that awesome?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I read that.
I want to adopt that.
Yeah. Right?
I love that.
Like, I really do that. Because... I don't know. I read that.
Is that Casey?
Casey.
That
Casey? Yep. Casey's her name.
Casey, you're my best friend. I love that.
I did. I read that. And I said, that is awesome. And I love how then she's taking it and then taking now like registries for different things and just even, you know, made that special and personalized
it. Get food and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I love the box. Like, I love that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times, especially, you know, in Christianity, I think we're always like serving outside of our family.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the grandparents are like, no, we're going to make sure everybody has it here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Without singling anybody else that might be struggling. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Like,
this is for everybody. Dig in. Everybody gets. I love that. I love that.
Yes.
I love it.
I really like that idea for sure. So there's our one of our people that we'll be sharing different traditions from different people on these episodes this month.
Yeah.
So that is that. Anything else you want to add or wrap up with?
Let me think. Well, I will give you my last funny Christmas story, which is still painful for me.
Okay.
So I'm dating myself. There was this film called Can't Buy Me Love. And the girl in the film had a white cabrio.
What's the name again of it?
Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't Buy Me Love. Okay.
Yeah. It's old. Mm-hmm. But this white cabriolet was like the car, right? And so I was about to be 15, I think, 15 and a half. And I really wanted a white cabriolet. Like, I was like, when I can drive, that's the only car I want a white cabriolet, right? So Christmas morning happens. And like I told you, we start with our stocking stuffers. My parents are together at the time. And so I go through all my stocking stuffers, and my last thing in there, I pull it out. Girl, I start screaming. I'm screaming out of my mind. I start running around in circles. I run outside to the front, right? Then I run in the house, running, screaming. My brother's looking at me, my mother, my father. I run outside to the front of the house because, of course, my cabriolet is outside, right? And I'm like, cabriolet, red bow, outside. I come back in. I go to the garage. So I run back in the house. I'm like, where is it? Where is it? And my parents go, where's what? And I'm like, my cabriolet to go with this, with my key. And they both look at each other. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, my cabriolet, because you got me the car keys here. They go, no. They were like, we didn't buy you a cabriolet. We bought you the cabriolet keychain. That's your house key. Girl.
Oh.
You want to talk about devastation? First of all, y'all let me run in circles. Run outside. Come back in. Gosh. Run to the garage. Come back. They are dying. But they had no. They were like, we didn't know what you were doing. But we definitely didn't think you thought. We bought you a car. Are you crazy? I did. That was the moment I realized, my life is not a movie.
You thought about your cabriolet.
Girl.
And wait, you were 15?
15 and a half.
Were you even able to drive yet?
I have my permit. I was just excited.
Oh, yeah, your permit. Okay.
I was excited.
That's one of those stints that say you can do it earlier.
I still had like 6 more months till my birthday, but I was excited, girl. This is new, right? Because, I mean, I'm a good kid. Where's my car? My dad, they laughed for days. And I was devastated. Still goes down in history. I mean, I was like, y'all let me run, though. You should have stopped me when I started screaming. Go, why are you screaming over your house key? I didn't even recognize it was my house key, girl. He was like, no, you wanted the car. You ain't getting the car, but we got you the keychain. Who does that? Like, who does that? My parents.
Oh, my gosh.
So now you can see why my father also let my stepmother order those lollies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
But what I will say is this. Christmas isn't about the gifts, you know, and for us, it is about the birth of Christ. But more than anything, it's about being with those you love, you know. And so if you can be with someone, I have had Christmases by myself because I lived away, you know, and I'm grateful now that we have the FaceTime. So this Christmas is going to be very different for so many people just because of the times we're living in. And so, you know, I'm praying that if you can be with someone, be with someone. If it's just one other person, just be with someone. But let's, you know, really reflect on the fact that it is because of Jesus's birth and his death that we have this beautiful life and freedom in him and this eternal life through him. And so whether you're a blended family, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids, whatever it is, know that this year you might not have had all of the finances to do it as big as maybe you had. But it's just simply being with the ones that you love and celebrating the one that has given us life together. So that's how I'm going to close.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, girlfriend, you have a great rest of the day.
You too.
And I hope your Christmas is definitely full of great memories. Yeah. And great food.
Oh.
And if you eat tamales, may they be made locally.
We're definitely not doing that. Nope. Mm-mm. 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 No more nasty food Christmas. Come on, God. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, bye.